I'm just telling you, folks, there's evil out there. You better understand that. And by the way, I'm preaching this to you not so you can walk around in a stupor and be sad about it. I'm preaching it to you so you can be aware. I'm not preaching this so I have something new to preach to you that makes you shock and awe and makes you... Everybody already thinks I'm weird enough, so that's not the point of this. The point of this is to inform you and to prepare you. That's the point. Because what's going on right now in this world, it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. All right, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's pray. Father, we need you. Lord, I pray you just control this and pray it be all of you and none of me, Lord, that you'd please direct my paths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, let me just say here, Paul's not playing games here, okay? Paul's being serious here. He's saying, knowing all these things, all this order that you're to live by, that the husband is the head of the wife, that the wife is submissive to the husband, that the children are in their father's home, the children obey their parents, that all of these things, that servants obey their masters, that you follow in civil obedience and things like that, when it doesn't violate God's principles. We do all these things, but know this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, isn't it interesting that he says again? He says it three times during this. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Says it again, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Notice what he says again, though. Stand, therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto. Boy, it seems to me he keeps telling you to stand, to watch, to be alert, wake out of your sleep. You're in a war! Right. With all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There's a war going on. The title of this message and this series of sermons that I'll preach here, and I won't get to the armor today. We won't get that far today. We're going to cover the first couple sections of this chapter, the last half of this chapter here. We've discussed the order that's in Ephesians chapter 6 before. We've dealt with those verses. But now we're going to move on to this spiritual warfare. But the title is Put Your Armor On. There's a war going on out there. There's a war going on. There's actually a war going on in your heart. That's the real battleground. Don't you understand? The battleground is the heart. It always has been the heart. The battleground of man is the heart. What happens outwardly is only because of what is inside and what is done inside. But the battleground is always the heart. You have a rebellious child. It's not because of his outward actions that he's rebellious. It's because of his heart that he's rebellious. And you have to get his heart. What does God say? God says he wants your heart. That's what he wants. But there's a battle. There's a war going on. I believe that God's people today are ignorant of the spiritual battles that are going on in this world. Now, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that their preachers don't preach the Bible to them. They're too busy preaching human hot dog Sunday and preaching gospel messages of the saved that are already saved and not edifying the saints and lifting them up. They're always going after some other sheep and not feeding the ones that they have. So somebody asked me, well, man, our church is so far in some directions that when new people come in, what are they going to think? Well, that's not for mine to worry about. That's for them to decide. That's for them to deal with God about. I'm not going to stop feeding the flock and growing them and allowing them to continue to grow and all of us to grow to wait for everybody else to grow. No, I'm to feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. I'm not to worry about the others that aren't here or the ones that come in that might be offended. Let them be offended. Lots of people get right with God when they're offended. It's just the process. It starts out with offensive. Being offended. Gasp. Folks, this isn't a new war. It's the one that was started in heaven when Satan rebelled against God. It's the same war. But let's ignore it. Let's act like it's not really there. Let's preach over these verses and around these verses and not deal with the uncomfortable things. Let's not start out with the garden and go through there and see the rebellion. That the same old war is going on. The same old fight for dominance is going on. The two spirits, the spirit of God and the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of Satan. The two seeds go all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, all the way to the throne of God, all the way till all the earth is melted with fervent heat and God reigns supreme in this world. Same two, no different. I know, preach a different message, get on something different, preach it soft, go weak, don't talk about the spirit world that's out there, don't deal with these things as the devil is preaching his demonic message every day to your people, pastor, out there, when they turn on that television, at 7 days a week, they're watching that garbage on there, and they're filling their lives up with vampires and demons, but don't touch that stuff at church, and don't preach that uncomfortable stuff, because people won't like that. Oh, don't give too much information out. Listen, the day I back off of this book because one of you are offended is the day I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm quitting. I'll go make $100,000 a year doing something. I'm sure I ain't going to sit here and be a phony. Amen. There's a dearth in the land today for strong Bible preaching and teaching that digs down into the Word of God and teaches the lessons that God has for us. These spiritual lessons are important, folks. They're important. When's the last time you really heard a message on these spiritual things? I don't mean from here. I mean from somewhere else where somebody actually dealt with this spirit world, where somebody actually dealt with this spiritual warfare that you're having, that you don't even realize you're going through because nobody preaches it to you and tells you, this is a battle. Put your armor on. It's a war. We're first told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Paul has just got done in this chapter laying the proper order down for all the family, for the church as a citizen. Now he's saying, finally, my brethren, after teaching you this proper order, you should live by it. But let me show you what you're going to face as you try to live by it. Let me show you what the real battle is. See, you think the fact that some husband goes and cheats on his wife is just a physical issue. No, it's not. There's something spiritual going on there. Something happened. That man got away from God somewhere. That man is overtaken in a fault. That man is driven by demonic activity. See, I don't think that's demonic activity. Yes, it is. Look in Proverbs chapter 2, and I believe it's Proverbs chapter 9, and the Bible says, and they knoweth not that the dead are there. And study that out. I'll let you study that out and see what that is. Paul is exhorting us here and telling us, don't forget where the true battle is. Don't forget. Don't forget where the real battle is. See, you think it's husbands, submit to your wives. No, it's not that physical action of submission. That's not where the real battle is. You're Christians. You've got to look for the spiritual battles that are there. You've got to depend on the Spirit, on the Bible, the Word of God, and get the spiritual teaching and the food that you need. You think it's this outward thing. You wonder why, and you're not seeing the forces that are behind all that. Now, a man makes his own decisions. I'm not... In all of this, I am not excluding man's decision to do right. Man must do right. But to say that there is no spirit world there would be foolish. Because the Apostle Paul is clearly saying, put your armor on. There's a war going on out there. You better put your armor on. You're in a war. See, we think today the battle's with our boss or with the president or with Congress or with a wife not being submissive or our children being disobedient. Those things are battles, but Paul is saying there's a battle that fuels all the rebellion of man towards God. It's a spiritual battle, and it's real. It's that same rebellion that was in heaven, that same rebellion that was in the garden. It's that rebellious spirit of the world against Almighty God. The Apostle Paul is saying, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not of your own understanding, not of your own carnal fleshly strength, but in the Lord. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You would think Paul was saying there's a spiritual battle there. Again, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Our war is in the spirit. Put your armor on. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. They're not weapons. They're not carnal weapons. You can't fight the devil with an AK-47. If I could, I'd have shot him already. But it won't work. You can't fight the devil with that. Paul's saying, put your armor on. There's a war going on. You were entered into a war the day you got saved by God's grace, and you are in a war for the rest of your life. You better not try to fight the devil or the spiritual wickedness of this world in the flesh, because God promised you that you will lose that battle. There is a war going on. And too many of us are under the impression that we are fighting the things that can be seen and not the spirit world that cannot be seen. We are told, finally, my brethren, knowing all these things, that we're to be strong in the Lord. God is the one that wrought the spiritual victories. God is the one that can defeat the devil and his wicked kingdom. By the way, which I'm going to show you today from the Word of God, that there is a kingdom of darkness. And that the devil owns and controls and uses it against the people of God. And you're being told, you're in a war. Wage war against it. He's already waged war against you. That's why you and I are told to stand. The day you were called to repentance and faith in Christ, you were told you were in a war. But if you keep playing around with the flesh and playing around with the world, you'll never be able to fight this war. You've got to have your armor on. You've got to put your armor on. I know Christians for 30 years and they know virtually nothing of the battle they're in. They don't see this Christian life as a war. And that's the thing. You talk to them and the flowery sermons that they've heard for years and everything else, they don't see it as a war. But see, you and I see it in two different ways, because when I look at this Christian life, I understand it's a war. And I understand how much the devil hates me. And I understand how much demonic forces hate me. And I understand how much fallen angels hate me. And I understand how much they hate everything that we represent, because we represent God. And they hate us for it. They hate us. But you can go ahead and look at man and you can think that that's your battle, but it's not. It's not a flesh and blood battle. You got problems with your in-laws? It's not a flesh and blood battle. It's a spiritual battle. I guarantee it is. You've got one spirit, they have another. And you will war against that. Or you'll give in and follow the world out of pressure. People don't even know the enemy. They don't. They don't really know the enemy. Christians today don't really know the enemy. Not at all. I'll tell you another thing they don't know is they don't know their weapon. They don't know their sword. They don't know how to use their sword. You know what happens when you go into war and don't know how to use your sword? It's like going hunting, isn't it, Lee? See, I practiced with my .50 caliber, but then I took a shotgun one day and tried to use that. And then when the moment came up that I was supposed to use it, it didn't work out so well. You want to know why? Because I didn't know the weapon, that's why. I didn't know the weapon well enough in a time of, listen to me, in a time of challenge, I didn't know the weapon well enough. So when the devil came to attack a Christian and they don't know their weapon, you fall for his tricks! Plain and simple. And then you sit and boo-hoo and cry and wonder why you fell for it. Don't wonder why. Read the book. You don't know your Bible, and that's why you failed. That's why you went the wrong way. But you'll sit and boo-hoo and cry and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't do anything. I just don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. It's right there. Read it. Know your sword. You got in a fight with the devil without your sword, and you went naked to the battle, and you lost. You went spiritually without any armor on, and you lost the war. You know, it's not safe to be spiritually walking around unarmed and naked to our spiritual enemies when there's a war going on. Why do you think he told you to put on the armor of God? Or maybe you think because you're a housewife, you don't have to put on the armor of God. Well, may I tell you that if you read Ephesians chapter 6, he's talking about the family, and he's telling you after that, therefore, put on the whole armor of God. Why? So you can be the wife that God wants you to be. That's why. Because the devil's after you and he wants to destroy you. And he doesn't want you to be a submissive wife. He doesn't want you to be that. He doesn't want you children to obey your parents in the Lord. He doesn't want that husband to be the head over his home. He doesn't want any of those things to happen. He doesn't want you to be a good employee to your boss. He doesn't want you to do those things. So he wants you to go out without your armor on and be destroyed. That's why. So he can bring shame to Christ's name. So you can bring shame to Christ's name. So the enemies of the Lord blaspheme against him. That's why. Oh, you think that's why he said that to obey the order that God laid down? Keepers at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed? It takes spiritual armor to be in that war and to fight that war. Because everything in this world wants you to leave that home. Everything. Everything. Wants you to leave your children. Everything. The devil's kingdom is rising. Satanic influence is rising. Murder, rape, sodomy, brutal killings, fornication, just like the days of Noah. All those things. Hybrids, genetic testing, mingling of seeds. All out of the satanic attack. You better get your armor on. You better put that spiritual armor on. You can think it's a physical war all you want to. The devil's after your family. Dad, the devil's after your daughter to marry her off to a man that'll destroy your godly heritage. That's exactly what he wants to do. He wants your son to be tempted by some prostitute out there and taken away. Some woman with the attire of a harlot, which, by the way, soon, Lord willing, soon, I'm going to preach on the attire of a harlot. I want you to understand some things about that. I want you to understand that, what the Bible talks about harlotry. I think you'll be surprised once you look at that. The devil's after your family, though. I like this quote here, which is directed to partly on the account of the things before exhorted to. So he's saying, all those things, put your armor on. Why? Because of all the things I've just told you, he said. Paul is saying, this is a quote by a man, which could not be performed in their own strength, and partly with respect to their many and potent enemies hereafter mentioned. He's saying, you better get that armor on. Why? Because I'm about ready to tell you that your enemies are coming after you. That there's a whole kingdom that's after you. Against whom they had no might nor power of their own. And therefore the apostle points out the Lord Jesus Christ unto them, in whom are strength, power, and might, even everlasting strength, to enable them to perform their duty and to fight against every enemy, sin, Satan, and the world. For though they are weak in strength in themselves, can do nothing for themselves and without Christ, yet since there is strength in him which is communicable to them, they may expect it from him and depend on him. And they may come at or strengthen themselves in it and by it and by meditation on it, by prayer for it, by waiting on Christ in his own ways, by exercising faith upon him and through the Spirit who strengthens them from with the might of the inward man and the inward man. God has commanded us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There's a reason for that. Now, Paul's about to tell you why you need to be strong or how you can be strong in the power of his might. I would think that you and I would want to listen to this exhortation and pay attention to it. God never gives a command without telling us how to fulfill that command. Never. Notice he said be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because he tells you how to be filled with the Spirit and why you need to be. But he tells you how to be. You know, he never tells you to be indwelt with the Spirit. You know why he never tells you to be indwelt with the Spirit? Because he does that when you get saved. He never tells you to be sealed with the Spirit. Why? Because he does that when you're saved. But he does tell you how to be filled with the Spirit. He commands us to put on the whole armor of God. Put your armor on. Now, if there is a way to fight the devil, which is God's children are to fight, it's with the armor of God. That's the only battle. That's the only thing you can wage war against him, as they've waged war against you. You can't punch the devil or kick a demon or a fallen angel. You can't do that. But you and I need to put our armor on. And we are told to put on the whole armor of God. We're ignorant of our enemy and his devices because we've not studied God's Word. We don't even know our sword. You know, I know people that have been saved for 30 years that if you started to ask them simple Bible questions, they couldn't even answer you. Because they don't know. They honestly don't know. And I look at them and I'd say, what have you been doing for 30 years? What was preached to you for 30 years? And we wonder why our people are destroyed all the day long. Nothing to strengthen them. And that's why people, when you hear teaching, and I tell people, you got to be careful. I tell my wife all the time, don't share with your family and everybody else the things that you're learning, because they're not going to. You're at C, and they're at A, and you try to introduce them to C, and they're going to have you committed. I'm just telling you, it's true, because they can't grasp it. They cannot grasp it. You start talking about the spirit world and other things that are plainly in Scripture. We're not making any spooky things up. We're reading it straight from the Bible, literally taking what God said from His Word. But they cannot receive it. They'll think you're crazy. Because they've never accepted A and B. It's like a guy's debating me back and forth on one of my messages on the Sons of God right now. And I said to him, well, have you listened to the messages? Because I'm not going to reteach all this over again. They're online. You can listen to them and then call me and argue with me. And I'm fine. I'll argue with you all day if you want. But I'm not going to reteach everything that I've already taught. That's why I put the sermon up there, so you could listen to it. Not so you could argue about what you think is right. Listen to it and then call me. But don't call me and ask me to explain everything that I've already explained in 2 hours of preaching. I'm not going to do that. That's why it's there. You listen to it. We're ignorant of our enemy. You better put your armor on and understand this is a spiritual war going on. Don't you think if Paul is teaching us that there's a war and tells us that we should put our armor on, we should actually listen to it? He's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But notice why he tells us to put our armor on. Put on the whole armor of God. He says, put on the whole armor of God. You know, not just one part of that armor will do. That's why you're to live the complete Christian life. Do you understand that? That not just one piece of the armor will do. You cannot just put on the breastplate of righteousness and not gird your loins with the truth. It doesn't work. You can't leave without your sword and expect that everything's going to be fine. You can't go out to the battle without your sword and expect that you're going to win. I've had people argue with me, and what they've argued with me about, and I'm in person, whatever, or on the internet, and I've had them argue with me, and I was thinking, you don't even know the Bible. I mean, you don't even know what you're talking about. You haven't even read it. I mean, this is just simple Bible stuff. This is not complex things. This is just simple Bible. So you're arguing with me, and I know you're arguing out of ignorance because you just don't understand. Because you've never studied it. And their usual first reaction is to get angry about it. They get mad at you because you've preached something that they don't understand, so that they're angry about it. And they say, oh, you're just mean, or you're this, or you're that, or you know, and all these things. And it's because you don't know your sword, and that's why you feel that way. If you knew your Bible, then you wouldn't feel that way. I'm not saying I'm always right. What I'm saying is that you got these basic things, you got to know your sword. you're in a spiritual battle and you're trying to go out without the sword, and then you sit and cry and wonder why you failed. Really? You went out against a lion who seeketh about to destroy you. He's looking to devour you and to eat you up. And you went and had a spiritual battle with him without a sword. And you stood there with some armor on, out of God's grace. And you stood there and you tried to fight him and he ate you. Why? Because you had no sword. But then you stand around and you wonder and you cry, well, why did that happen? Because you don't have a sword. You don't pick the sword up and use it. You don't know it. So you were tricked. You were fooled. Oh, come on, that doesn't happen, does it? Yeah, actually it does if you look at the Bible verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are wiles? Tricks. You were fooled. You fell for the devil's trick because you didn't take your sword, you didn't put on the armor of God, and look what he says here. Finally, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. What is he talking about? Standing your ground. I like that stand your ground law. I like that. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? You do realize one thing, don't you? There's no armor for the back. There's no armor for you to run away from the spiritual battle. You have no armor for that. There's no protection for the back. If you run away, you're going to get stabbed. The fiery darts of the wicked one don't go away because you turn your back. When you turn your back, you give him a great target. You give him a great target. Why? You turned your back. You don't have any armor back there. There's no defense for the back. We're not called to run away. We're called to stand our ground for the Lord. We're commanded to stand our ground and not back down. Too many today are backing down from the truth, and they won't stand their ground. They won't stand spiritually on anything they're supposed to. And when a preacher stands his ground or a believer stands, the world and the church and the brethren who are not willing to take that stand find fault with that brother who will stand. Quit you like men, be strong, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil, his cunning and craftiness. See, some of you just believe that the devil went asleep for 1,000 years and he's not doing anything anymore and he's just sleeping out there. Well, let me tell you something. He's alive and well and he's doing a lot of things out there and he's tricking God's people every day. God's people are falling for the witchcraft of the devil. They're falling for the false doctrine. They're falling for the heresies. They're falling for the wickedness. They're waging war with physical means and not instead of spiritual means. He's crafty and the lost are constantly fooled by him and the saved are as well when they don't put their armor on. And scripture promises you that you will not be able to stand against the wiles of the devil if you do not have your armor on. You're not being shot at with BBs, but you're being shot at with fiery darts of the wicked. And he means to destroy you. See, you think he's playing games and he's playing for keeps. You might be playing spiritual games. He's not playing a game. He wants to destroy you. He has a whole kingdom set up to destroy you. He can't destroy God, but he's got a whole kingdom set up to destroy your life. Paul's about to explain the wiles of the devil and the totality of his kingdom. Satan does not work alone, but he has a kingdom of fallen angels and demons that work with him and against us. We have Christ and we have the armor that he gave us. But if you don't put your armor on, how do you expect to fight him? Right. If you don't know your weapon, if you don't know your sword, how do you expect to fight him? If you don't stand your ground, if you don't stand for the battle, how do you expect to win? You're too busy playing games with the world. That's what you're doing. You're too busy laughing it up and playing games with the world to do the battle you're supposed to do. And the world is eating you up and laughing at you. The devil is laughing at you. He's laughing at you because you're playing games with the world. And you're mixing and mingling with the world. And he's laughing at you. Do you know that he laughs at Christians that play with the world? it's funny to him that you do that, because he's controlling every action of yours, and you're giving over to that spirit of lawlessness and wickedness. And when you mingle with the world and you take on their philosophies and their strategic plans that they have and their designs to do everything and their philosophies of men, when you take those things on, you are being consumed by the world and you don't realize that you're in a spiritual battle. You better get your armor on. You better put it on. You better quit playing games with your Christian life. Let me ask you a question. How much of your Bible did you read yesterday? Did you read any of it at all? Did you pick your Bible up yesterday at all? Did you study to show yourself approved unto God yesterday? Ask yourself that question. Or were you too busy doing something else? What kind of lame excuse do you have for God today that you didn't pick your sword up? Tell me, what kind of lame excuse do you and I have to give to God when we stand before Him and we fail that day and we fall into sin that day, but we were too busy to pick the Word of God up and to study it? What were you doing that kept you so busy from God's Word? Oh, I have to work. Yeah, everybody does. You better put your armor on, though. Oh, I have more important things to do, do you? Well, as important as you take your spiritual life, that's how important it is for God to protect you. Because you can't cry foul when God doesn't protect you when you didn't put your armor on. When you left your armor off and you walked out in the world and you said, well, I won't read my Bible today. I don't need it that bad. I've got other things to do. But let me ask you something. I'm just curious. Did you have a lot of doubts and fears yesterday? Did you have a lot of anxiety yesterday? Did you have a lot of bad thoughts and struggles that you're having yesterday? Well, let me ask you this: how much of the Word of God did you put in? How much of that sword did you practice with yesterday to learn? How much of it did you read? You know, I don't do much counseling anymore because I feel like it's a waste of time. I don't really feel like it's biblical, to be honest with you. I mean, there's a little bit that needs to be done. I understand that. It's more talking than it is counseling. I think counseling is more humanistic, to be honest with you. It's really not a lot biblical. I mean, there's a little bit that you can do, but really, this stuff's gotten out of hand. It's turned into Christian psychiatry. And, look at it. Look at pastors' offices. They go and they have a couch. All they need is a timer to charge you $50 an hour and they're there. I mean, most of their books do come from the world, and their philosophies come from the world, so they're basically Christian psychiatrists without a license. Some of them have a license from the government. But anyway, that's the way they are. So they sit there and they talk to you about everything you're not doing. Then I had a pastor tell me the other day that he's been working with a guy for months, same guy that I worked with for 2 years, and he said that, I'm just trying to get him to read his Bible. Well, then you know what? I wouldn't waste any more time with him. But you got to help him. No, I don't. He's got to help him. What do you want me to do when you don't put your armor on? You expect me to pat your hand and hold your hand? You're not a baby. I'm not going to powder your butt and put a diaper on you. Let's be honest. Come on. Let's be honest. I'm sorry if you politically correct buttocks. Excuse me. But anyway, my point, you get my point, right? You get my point? You want somebody to powder you and change you and treat you like a baby, but you don't want to put your armor on and realize there's a war going on out there. Well, there ain't no sidelines in this war, friend. There is no sideline. Satan is taking people every day. He is ruining their lives. He is destroying them. And it's because you don't put your armor on. But you'll go complain and say, it's the pastor, it's this person, nobody wants to help me. My mom, my dad, my sister, my cousin. The guy that sells bread down the road, whoever, I'm going to make an excuse. It's whoever. I got everybody else's fault but mine, because I don't want to take my and put my armor on, put on the whole armor of God, obey God, and understand I'm in a war here, and it ain't no cakewalk. Wake up! It's not a cakewalk. People are being murdered and dying and going to hell as we speak. But you're too busy playing games, wondering why you have doubts, fears, problems. Don't study your Bible. Don't put your armor on. Don't know your sword. Have challenges with the kids. Have challenges with everything. How much are you reading your Bible, Mom? How much are you meditating on God's Word? Now you can sit and complain about what your husband doesn't do for you. What are you doing for you? What are you doing spiritually? You have doubts, fears? What are you doing spiritually? How are you caring for those things spiritually? Are you putting your armor on? Or are you expecting somebody else to do it for you? By the way, the Bible doesn't say that your husband can put your armor on for you. You understand that? Your wife can't be more spiritual than you, husband. It's not going to work. You've got to be a leader and a man, and you've got to lead first and put your armor on. Do your kids even know you read the Bible? Do they see you read the Word of God? Do they see you study it? Do they see you grow? Mom, do you think you're exempted from reading the Word of God? Are you exempted from those duties? See, why are you picking on moms? I'm not picking on them. I'm trying to help them. I know what the battle is out there, and I know what the devil's trying to do. I know he wants to destroy your family. And I know the easiest way to do that is to come to the weaker vessel and start to whisper in her ear. That's the best way to do it. The best way to do it is also to get to a woman that doesn't have a man over them and try to mess with them. And he does a good job of messing them up emotionally. That's why you've got to stay in the Word of God and be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's not just for a man, by the way. That's for you. You're to be strong in the Lord. But you can make excuses and say, well, my dad's not strong. My husband's not strong. The butcher down the street isn't strong. Okay, we'll keep making excuses. But meanwhile, the fiery darts of the wicked one are piercing you every day. And you're losing the battle every day. Because you don't put your armor on and you don't stand your ground and fight. Instead, you'll scream and yell at the kids. You'll get mad and get in the flesh. By the way, there's a news flash for all of us parents. Kids aren't supposed to get punished because they make you mad. I just want you to understand that, just so you remember that. I mean, we're all guilty of that, by the way. I'm just saying that kids don't get punished because they make you mad. You don't sit a child down and say, well, I'm punishing you because I'm mad at you. Really? Well, then you're wrong. You need a spanking. Because that's not why you punish somebody, is because they're mad at you. You're mad at them. You punish them because they broke God's law. But see, if you were in your Bible, you and I would, if we were in our Bibles, you and I would understand that concept better, and then we wouldn't get in the flesh all the time. If we were feasting on God's Word all the time, then that wouldn't be a problem, would it? But see, you don't know your sword. So your children come, and the devil influences your children to do wrong. Amen. He does. They're not innocent. Not in that sense, anyway. Anybody can be used by the devil, even Christians, and I can prove they have been. But you think about it. You got that battle going on. You got that war going on. What are you doing? You're screaming and hollering. So you're fighting the battle by screaming and yelling at your kids, getting mad at them. That's how you're fighting the battle. Oh, that'll work. Yeah, that's real profitable. So the devil just sits in the corner and laughs at you. All the demons sit in the corner and just laugh at you. Oh, look at that guy. That's funny. He or she's trying to fight a spiritual battle. Or you got doubts and fears? You got those things going on in your heart right now? You got those fears and anxiety and doubts and everything else? And what are you doing? You're just getting upset. You're getting angry. You're getting bitter. You're getting mad. You're fighting all those doubts and fears with fleshly reasoning. So then you put your husband through a lot, you put your wife through a lot, you put your children through a lot. Why? Because you don't put your armor on and fight because there's a battle going on. And you don't war after the, you war after the flesh and not the spirit. Mike, is this getting anybody? Is God getting to you today? Are you feeling that? Is it hitting that button there? Is it in that repentance button that needs to hit? I hope so. Because the battle's real. And it ain't over. Neither is this message. It'll continue the next hour. Father, thank you so much. I pray you'd bless us now. Thank you for your mercy. Help us, Lord, to see these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.